The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. And it has been a big, big day, and that is no understatement. There is now a two-tier football championship. We'll discuss that in just a bit. We'll hear from Tracy Kennedy and former GAA President Sean Kelly about that following today's Congress at Páirc Cuíve. Ireland hammered by New Zealand today. We'll have more on that in a bit.
It was all the ball we gave them. I think we missed touch on penalties for us to get good field position three times, and it just meant that that we were chasing our tail, and they had so much ball in our 22 and our half in that first half that it was very, very tough going.
Tom Savage from Three Red Kings will be along to analyse that. And we have a massive senior hurling championship final in a preview. We'll be talking with Cork legend Mark Landers, and we'll get all the reaction from the Glen camp and the Mackillie camp ahead of tomorrow's game. Oh, 868-104-106 if you'd like to get in touch with the show, tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Kieran O'Regan is here. Kieran O'Regan was at Congress and the two-tier I should say football championship was adopted. Were you surprised by that, or was it kind of expected based on all the reports during the week?
When we got up there, we were kind of told, yeah, look, it's going to pass. It did seem, with the counties coming out during the week stating which one they'd vote, which way they'd vote for, you kind of got the inclination that it would go through. And any motion normally that the GA proposes usually goes through.
Reaction to it on Twitter. A lot of people saying this is the death of the football championship. Some people kind of more lukewarm to it, but it's been kind of negatively received, just what I've been seeing on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, I think because a lot of people are going by the Tommy Murphy Cup, which was there years ago, and teams started pulling out of it because they didn't really have much interest in it. But at the end of the day, this can be changed in a couple of years again if it's not really working. But I think teams should really give it a go, like, without not picking on Leitrim, but Leitrim's chance of winning a Sam Maguire title would be fairly slim. You'd think they have a good realistic chance of winning a Tier 2 All-Ireland, which gives them automatic entry into Sam Maguire competition Tier 1 next or the following year. I think it's definitely worth a try. Something had to be done because the competition is, it's a bit like the Rugby World Cup. A load of kind of meaningless matches
until you get to the knockout stages.
Yeah, everyone knows who's going to be there for the most part.
Of course, it has big implications for Cork, because if Cork don't beat Kerry this summer, that means that they won't automatically qualify for a Sam Maguire unless they progress from Division 3 of the Football Championship.
Yeah, there's going to be, ask Tracy about this, but it is going to put pressure on teams to get promoted. The top two will go up. The bottom two in Division 2 will go down. That means they'll play at Tier 2, so there'll be a lot of competition in and pressure up in Division 2. But a lot riding on Cork, yeah. But I suppose before the Munster Championship comes around and that Kerry game, you'd be hoping that they would win Division 3.
You'd expect them to progress from Division 3.
Surely they will.
Now that we've given them a big, massive jinx, I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
Probably, yeah, Ron McCarthy, I'm sure, is driving down.
I'm sure he's listening now. They jinxed us.
They're doing a lot of work that they can do legally, or legitimately, I suppose, behind closed doors of the football team. So, look, there is a bit of pressure, but before this happened, you'd already be saying Cork should be coming out of Division 3 up to
Division 2. Well, we're going to be Kerry in the semi-final anyway, so this is all moot.
Well, it's
your silence there spoke volumes.
Do you know what? I was almost going to say a curse word there. I think Cork will give them a game next year. I really do. Genuinely think they'll give them a game. They're, you know, Keane O'Neill on board as coaching officer now as well. There's a lot of work being done. There's those players coming up from minor and under 20. I think there might be one or two. Possibly bypass not the minor team, they'll bypass the under 20s fellas coming up from the minor team. So I think that there's the bones of an absolutely fantastic outfit there for next year. It's whether they just get the results, like they did have a good year this year. They just started off poorly, and that's it cost them in the league. So hopefully, look, there's a lot of talent there at the moment, and they'll be doing lots of work with Keane O'Neill, and hopefully that will benefit them. But yeah, very busy day, as mentioned, all the action happening with Congress. There was a couple of other things as well, the advance mark, the sin bin.
A That's a big one,
the kickouts. They're very complicated,
yeah,
convoluted.
I was looking a bit at it and my eyes just glazed over. It's like, Ciarán will explain that to me. So, Ciarán, explain it to me.
I have a lot of marks, a lot of ticks.
The referee nerd here, and I was like, yes. The intricacies of refereeing.
Definitely not. For the advanced mark, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of referees will have to kind of watch. Pat Doherty, he was the referees manager in Croke Park.
Right.
He's now the operations manager in Westmeath. He spoke out against it because there's so much to think about. You have to decide, did the ball come out so far? Did it cross a certain threshold for the, you know, to get the mark? Is the player who's defending it so far away distance-wise? It's now gone from 5 seconds to take the free to 15. You have to count that. I know you can say look at the watch, but at the end of the day, that's another thing to be worrying about. There's so much in that.
It's a lot to take in for a referee and to analyse. And
there's an awful lot in it. The sin bin, there's a lot in this as well. This passed hugely.
This feels like a big thing because, I mean, like, now instead of a black card and a player being replaced by another player, it's down to 14 for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes, and if there's a match with extra time, it'll carry over into the extra time if we'll say there was 5 minutes left in normal time. But, yeah, so it's 10 minutes in a sin bin. A player who commits a cynical foul or, and look what a black card is at the moment. He'll get the black card once he doesn't have a yellow card already.
Mm.
If he gets that, then it's a red card. So it's the same as it is now. He won't get a sin bin, it'll be a red card. If he's already been booked in the game and then gets a black card for the sin bin, he's off. You can't replace him. As you can't know. So basically they'll be down to a man for the rest of the game as opposed to just 10 minutes.
Right.
Convoluted,
yes.
Like I said. There's a lot to that.
And kickouts are now from the 20-metre line. That's the other one.
Kickouts from the 20, that's very straightforward. You know, it's just a kickout from the 20-metre line that passed 83%. I'm not sure why anyone would go against it, but 16.9% did. So it's just a change in the wording of the rules. So to amend the words from the 30-metre line within the large rectangle to from the centre point of the 20-metre line and shall be kicked forward. So you can't kick it back. I don't think anyone would be doing that anyway. But it has to be kicked forward and players must be outside the circle arc and 13 metres until the ball is kicked.
Right.
So this happens a lot in games. If the ball is kicked and a player receives it, he's only 5 metres away from the keeper. That's allowed once he's 13 metres away when the ball is kicked.
Okay.
But then a referee has to... Was that 13 metres?
My eyes have glazed over again.
Look, it's convoluted. It's a lot of wording and stuff. When it happens in matches, people don't take much notice and it kind of works seamlessly. I can't imagine there'd be any issues with the kick-out. Maybe at the start of the year.
Fellas getting confused.
There might be a bit of confusion with the advance mark and the sin bin from just players not really understanding it all that well. Because that happened with the mark when that was first brought in. There was a tiny bit of confusion. And with the black card, as simple as it sounded, without going into detail, there was a bit of confusion about it, so there could be next year in the early competitions. Mm-hmm. All these rules come in 4 weeks' time.
Okay.
It won't affect Munster Club Championship,
mm-hmm,
because that competition will start in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So essentially it's pre-season.
So they won't change the rules in the middle of a competition, what you're saying?
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. So they come in 4 weeks' time. But yeah, plenty happening in Parky Creek.
Yeah, and I hear from Tracy Kennedy and Sean Kelly just a little bit on that.
Yeah, there was two games in the Intermediate Football Championship semi-finals as well. Gabriel Rangers from Very West Cork, they defeated Drumtariff 16 points to 15, game going right down to the wire there. And in the other game in that competition, Knocknagree defeated the Aidan O'Mahony coached Mill Street 321-18. Knocknagree really a class above everybody in that competition. And you know what? They could, because both teams go up to Premier Intermediate next year, Gabriel Rangers and Knocknagree. Knocknagree certainly will give Premier Intermediate teams a run for their money there. There was also action as well In the Intermediate Hurling Championship relegation, Ballinhasig defeated Kilbritton 4-8 to 2-13. In the Junior A Hurling Championship semi-finals, it's going to be an all-East Cork County final.
Nice.
Yeah, Russell Rovers defeated Newmarket 19 points to 12, while Carrignavar defeated Ballinscarthy 118 to 17. Carrignavar and Russell Rovers are playing the final. They already played in the East Cork final with Russell Rovers prevailing. So that's going to be a real cracker in 2 weeks' time in Parky Rin, a real East Cork battle there. In the Junior B Hurling Championship, we don't normally mention it, but Ballyhea have got to a county final.
I wonder why you're mentioning that,
defeated Douglas 18 points to 1-9, while Bullock have defeated Bantry Blues 3-17 to 10 points as well.
You're just saying that now, you would have been crucified if you went home. Said, you never mention us now on the radio today.
Well, look, it's a county final. You have to give them a...
I don't know it.
Moving on to rugby. As we already heard, Ireland crashed out of the World Cup, beaten by New Zealand earlier on today, 46-14.
Not even beaten, just humiliated by New Zealand today. But it was.
You came into work with so much optimism.
I came into work early to watch the match. I was like, look, I'm not going to get any peace at home. I come in and I watch the first half at work, as opposed to watching the first half, then coming into work. And I was so optimistic. I was buzzing. I was like, I was properly up for it. And then you could just see me, like, my interest waning and, like, you know, my exasperation growing. And I'm like, ah, for God's sake. To the point in the second half, I actually started doing some work.
I think after a minute and a half, you could see the interest waning.
Not the interest waning, but you could certainly see my frustration growing.
Well, they got seven tries, the All Blacks. Robbie Henshaw a penalty for Ireland there. Robbie Henshaw try, I should say, penalty try. England took on Australia this morning as well in the quarter final. That finished in a 40-16 win for England. They'll now play the All Blacks in the semi final. Locally in the Energia League in Division 1A, UCC defeated Young Munster 20-14. Corcon overcame Lansdowne 21-17. Highfield overcame Naas 38-20 in 1B. In 2A, Dolphin lost out to Queens 26-17 there. In 2C, Middleton defeated Bruff 23-10. While Tullamore overcame Sunday as well, 12-8. In the Premier League, Everton defeated West Ham 2-0. A lot of action at the 3 o'clock kickoffs. No action between Bournemouth and Norwich. That finished 0-0. But Aston Villa defeated Brighton 2-1. Chelsea had a 1-0 win over West Ham. Leicester defeated Burnley 2-1. It's 1-1 draw between Spurs and Watford. And the same scoring between Southampton and Wolves. Man City leading Crystal Palace 2-0 at the moment. Not going very well for Spurs at the moment.
Yeah, they're under a lot of pressure. Pochettino's under a lot of pressure as well today. Watched a little bit of that game against Watford today. Didn't look at the races, judging by the reaction on Twitter as well. A lot of frustrated Tottenham fans, and then a lot of Man United fans saying, we'd take Pochettino at Old Trafford.
But they have a lovely new stadium in Spurs.
Maybe there's a stadium hoodoo.
Maybe. Possibly that could be it. That happened in Arsenal as well, didn't it?
It did.
Possibly. Could be the reason. In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic have regained top spot after a 6-0 win over Ross County. In the FAI Intermediate Cup, Middleton defeated Rockmount 1-0. UCC had a 3-0 win over Douglas Hall. Leeds beat Ballinhasig 1-0. Ringman Rangers overcame Carrigaline 2-1. And Everton had a 5-1 win over Leith side. Castleview taking on Carrigtool. The latest there was 3-1 in that game. In golf, Gavin Moynan remains in contention at golf's French Open. He's 8-under par after a third round 68. He's 5 shots behind clubhouse leader Nicholas Coulthard. Graham McDowell's 6 shots off the lead after 3 rounds of the CJ Cup in South Korea. The Ulsterman is 9-under par after a 68 today. Justin Thomas and Danny Lee are tied at the summit of the leaderboard at 15-under. Two golfers who weren't in golf action, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, they were both over in Japan. Rory McIlroy being shown on camera laughing.
No, it's kind of all you could do really in the face of just such a humiliation.
Yeah, so they were over in Japan. In greyhound racing, the Irish Greyhound Laurels final takes place at Curraheen Park tonight, a little bit later on than the start time of the 9 race card, which gets underway at 7:35. In basketball, one game in the Women's Super League division tonight, Singleton Super Value Brunel away to Liffey Celtics at 7 o'clock. And in racing, trainer Aidan O'Brien, he's celebrating his first win in the Champions Stakes at Ascot. The Breeders' Cup turf runner-up Magical was a 3 lengths victor in the race under the ride of Donegh O'Brien. The win comes just weeks after her 5th place finish at the Arc at Longchamp.
Alright, Kieran, thanks for that. We will go back to Parky Cueve and Special Congress, and we've been hearing from Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy.
Yeah, I suppose, Ciarán, as you know, Cork County Board decided not to take a position in advance of today's vote because we wanted to hear the debate. I think we heard convincing arguments from both sides, but obviously the decision of Congress was to introduce a Tier 2 football championship. As you say, the significant, I suppose the really significant point from the point of Cork point of view is the fact that this, the so-called Tipperary motion was taken first, which may have influenced people, I don't know, to be quite honest, but it does mean from a Cork perspective that, you know, we'll be going into championship next year based on the league standings at the end of next year's league rather than this year's, which obviously is of interest to us because we would be hoping to get out of Division 3 and therefore to not be in a position to be in the Tier 2 competition. But obviously, you know, that's our aim anyway, to get out of Division 3. So I'm not sure that a lot has changed for us from the point of view that must be our goal anyway, to keep improving. And I'm sure that is the goal of our manager and players anyway. So yeah, while rules have changed and so on, it really will make, I think, little difference to us, as our aim is to improve anyway.
But it's sounding like a silly question. Which way did Cork go on motion one?
We didn't take a decision, as I say. We listened to the debate and voted on that basis.
Okay. Look, obviously, it puts a bit more pressure on teams next year, I would say. Obviously, more on the manager than a county board, but there is that bit of added pressure now to really... You have to come through now.
There is for everybody, and I suppose we all think of it from our own point of view. I was talking to a chairperson of a county in Division 2, and you know, he was making the point that now they have to make sure they stay in Division 2, as in that they don't fall out the bottom end, as opposed to being promoted. So it depends really on where you are. Obviously, those counties in Division 2 will need to be certain that they can maintain or improve their position, and those in 3 and 4 who want to, you know, obviously the teams in Division 4 are going to have a much longer route if they want to get out of that situation. But, you know, the important thing is everybody playing at a level and so on. You know, this is a decision our association has taken and we have to move forward with it.
There was other motions as well. There were only rule changes, I suppose, which can only happen every 5 years. They all seem to pass pretty easily.
Yeah, we discussed them at our last county board meeting, and Cork was in favour of all three. I saw them operating in the National League this past year, and you know, they're all of interest. I think the big change probably is the sin bin instead of the black card, because that's a very different situation now from where you were losing a player to a black card, now, albeit with a replacement, but now you're talking about being down a player for the 10-minute period of the sin bin. That may have a significant impact. There was, you know, mention here today of a team scoring on average 3 points to their opponent's one while they have that extra player. So those are things we'll have to take into account. I think the advance mark worked very well in the Alliance League. I think it's an interesting one. And again, these things will add interest to our games.
Can't even go without mentioning the fact Cork hosting the special Congress. It's obviously great to have it here in Barkingquhive as well.
Yeah, we were delighted, really, you know, to have the opportunity. I suppose Barkingquhive is not just Cork Stadium. It's a stadium of the association, and it was wonderful to be able to have our other colleagues from all over the country here today and beyond the country, in fact, here today to see the stadium, and just a reminder to us all of what it has to offer our association as a whole, not just Cork.
Yeah, fantastic venue is Barkingquhive. That was Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy there speaking after today's special Congress. Now, Ciarán's also been speaking with former GAA President Sean Kelly at Congress today. Kelly was the president when he brought in the Tommy Murphy Cup in Sinbin a number of years ago. He spoke exclusively to Red FM Sport today, and he was delighted with how today went.
Yeah, I was very happy because I tried to introduce the Tommy Murphy Cup. I did introduce it for 3 years when I was president, and also the Sinbin, and they were both subsequently ditched, and I'm very happy now they're both back. But I thought the Tipperary motion was very relevant to a Tier 2, because it should be based on the current year standing, so that if a team starts off being in the year, they can do well in the National League. That can get them into whatever the Tier 1 possibly, but also up and standing. And that's the way it should be, because if you're based in the previous year, a team that's in it could be relegated, and that doesn't make sense. So Tipperary were very wise with that motion forward. And then the Tier 2 itself, it was touch and go, because while the margin was big in the end, I think if people hadn't spoken out in favour of it and convinced the delegates that was what gave it a go, it probably wouldn't have been passed. But I think it's going to be a big opportunity, essentially, for every player, the players in the county jersey now, to at least aspire to winning in All-Ireland, because the worst county in Ireland, and I don't like to use that term disrespectfully, could aspire to beating a county that's rated maybe 10 or 11 above them, but they could never aspire to winning the Sam Maguire Cup.
How important was that Tier 2 motion? Because motion 1 probably wouldn't have passed without having motion 2 there, I'd say.
No, I think you're right. It was very important, because if it was based on last year's league, then there'd be a flaw and it would have been spotted. And once you find the flaw in a motion, people are not inclined to vote for it. So Tipperary County Board were very sharp, and fair play to them for putting the motion forward and wording it and getting it passed here, because it cleared the way. And also, we like to do things nowadays, particularly in the calendar year. So it's all now going to be based in the calendar year. And it actually should give greater incentive, and will give greater incentive, to counties in Division 3 and 4 to do well in the National League, because they can see it as progressing, and it links it somewhat with the Championship as well.
How important was it that Motion 2 went before Motion 1, do you think?
I think that was crucial. Because if you were waiting for Motion 1 to be passed, they'd have said, we don't know how it's going to apply. And again, once, as I said, you create doubt, people are not inclined to vote for doubt. So having clarity on that, I think, was very important. And it was a wise move by the Outron to put Tipperary Motion first, Motion 2 before Motion 1.
A few counties spoke out against it, a few spoke for it. One, I suppose, I think the Antrim chairman mentioned that nobody aspires to win in a second tier All-Ireland title, but I suppose you'd be not against that, but you disagree with that in a term. It's an All-Ireland title, and you mentioned like the likes of Leitrim and Longford and those counties, they can aspire to win an All-Ireland title at their level, I suppose. If they win that, then they go up to Tier 1 the following year.
That's right, and as things stand, they still could win, if they're good enough, an All-Ireland any year, because they're the provincial championships haven't been changed.
Of course.
And that's the way it was for 100 years. That was the chance they had for 100 years. They still have that chance now. And this gives them an additional chance. And as has been pointed out, it's going to incentivise a lot of players, and especially if it's properly promoted on television, help their sponsors and so forth. And they'll have probably more home games as well, which will help to generate business for them in their own area. So I think this is very exciting. And it's the way that almost every competition in the world is arranged. Even if we take the Antrim point of view, should they have clubs in Antrim, and they have a senior championship, and they have an intermediate championship and a junior championship, they all can play in the senior championship. If they did, they'd probably have to be gone out of existence at this stage, and the same in every other county. And it works in naturally, because the most important thing, I think, when you're competing is at least to have some hope that you'll win something and that you can compete properly and aspire to getting better and better over a period of time.
And just very quickly, I suppose a quick mention on the rule changes, the playing rule changes, football related, the sin bin, the kick out, and the advance mark as well, they all passed pretty comprehensively there.
Yeah, they all passed, and I think it shows the value of doing your homework as well. But people were able to see the advantages of these in terms of how the game was evolving and so forth. So obviously the advanced mark was seen as something that would help in fielding and kicking, so I think that was something that people said, we'll give it a go. And of course they saw how the black card had operated. I mean, being truthful about it, as things stood, depending on the game, depending on the referee, you could get a black card, you could get a yellow card, a red card, possibly a no card, sometimes for what seemed to many of us more or less the same offence. So at least now, if they are put to the sin bin, then they get their punishment and they can come back. And it was interesting, the statistic that was quoted, that the evidence showed that when the players in the sin bin, that the opposition would probably score 3 points to the other team's one. Now, I'm not sure what basis there is for that, but obviously someone did analysis somewhere. But it's interesting, because it makes sense logically. 15 should be doing better than 14, so that will encourage people maybe to be a little more mindful, but not to pay a terrible penalty sometimes for an innocuous enough foul.
Yeah, it's former GAA President Sean Kelly there speaking at Congress today, following today's motions, and of course the big one being the second tier football championship being voted in earlier on today. So how do you think the rule change is going to be accepted or received, I should say?
Plain rules, I don't think there's going to be...
Too much.
No, there'll be no problem. Look, they were voted in, the advance mark was 68.9% approved, the sin bin was 73.8%, and the kick out was 83.1% approved. Mm. So I don't think there's going to be any problems, although most of these people voting aren't playing either, to be fair. But I don't think there's going to be any major problem. There will be... maybe a bit of stickiness at the start of the year.
There always is, I suppose.
You know, there would be with rule changes. So these are going to be in for the next 5 years. I think it's every 5 years that they can vote on these things. So they're going to be in for the next few years anyway. With regard to Motion 1 and Motion 2, a lot more trickier, but it was strange. Motion 1 was to have Tier 1 and Tier 2. Motion 2 was Tipperary's motion, which dealt with league standings for the thing. But they took Motion 2 first before Motion 1. No, it makes sense. It does make sense to go with Motion 2 first. But I don't know why they didn't write it that way.
No, it's only a small technicality, I suppose, at the end of the day.
It's only a technicality, but they ended up... There was a lot of discussion on that, about why it was done that, and people started calling for it to take it as what it is on the Clare, which is Motion 1 first.
Yeah.
And then John Horan took a vote on it, and everyone voted to take Motion 2 first. That passed quite comprehensively. A lot of people for and against it. More obviously for it, more counties speaking out for it. But look, in layman's terms, if you don't reach your provincial final, you'd be in Tier 2 if you're a Division 3 or 4 county. That passed. If you get promoted from Division 3, you'll be in Tier 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get relegated from Division 2, you'll be Tier 2. Once you don't get your provincial final. So it's going to be interesting, especially in Munster, because you've Clare, Tip, Cork, they're all in around that zone, the Division 2, Division 3 promotion relegation area, we'll say. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out, because there will be very disappointed counties next year who are, you know, relegated from Division 2. They'll probably kick up, but at the end of the day, they'll have had 7 or 8 months to digest everything, you know. But yeah, Tier 1 passing comprehensively as well, and that was to bring in the two tiers. A lot of counties, as mentioned, speaking out against it, but more voting for it. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully it gets the support from the players, because a lot of players didn't seem to want it. And some counties, weaker counties, not voting or not wanting it. Like, the reality is I'd rather win in All-Ireland, whether it's a second grade or not. A lot of people worry that it's not going to get the respect or, you know, TV coverage and all that. It will get TV coverage and all that. John Horan read out a text that he got from TV ahead of a TV station. And they're saying it's going to be marketed and all that. They're going to learn from what happened with the Tommy Murphy Cup, and they'll learn from what happened with the Joe McDonagh Cup earlier this year with the type of promotion it gets. But it is going to need a significant amount to get that back in from players. There's going to be an All-Star holiday as well for the winners.
Nice.
Off the Tier 2. You know, that's not too bad, you know.
Can't complain with that.
So, yeah. Look, it is what it is, but yeah, they're in now for next year.
Yeah, it should be an interesting couple of months ahead. Right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to preview the Senior Hurling Championship final between Imo Killie and Glen Rovers. Going to hear from Cork legend Mark Landers to get his take on that. But up next, we're talking Ireland and New Zealand analysis to come from Tom Savage from Three Red Kings.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Right, we are going to talk rugby, and the Ireland's World Cup is over after a sobering, for want of a better word, 46-14 defeat to defending champions New Zealand in the quarterfinals. Joe Schmidt says there's no single reason for their drop in form in 2019.
One of the things that we tried to do was experiment a little bit in the Six Nations, give responsibility to a few younger players, try to build the group. We try to use the Six Nations as a platform for that, because we felt that we'd won 3 of the last 5 of them, that this is really what we wanted. And so that's why it's so devastating tonight, that what we really wanted, we didn't produce the performance that we needed on the night.
And for more on the game, I've been discussing it with Tom Savage from 3redkings.com. Just looking at the commentary around this on Twitter afterwards, I've seen the words abject failure used, humiliation used, embarrassment used. Where do you stand after that Ireland performance?
It was an abject failure. You know, Ireland came into this tournament with ambitions to win it, and they've gone out in the quarter final in a very, very disappointing performance. You know, none of this will be news to any of the players or the coaches. You know, they'll come off the field straight away and they'll know, look, this was a disaster. You know, Ireland to come in, you know, Grand Slam champions in 2018, but then also to, you know, have, you know, be number one of the world, you know, in theory before they enter the tournament, to go out in this manner without even really firing a shot is just going to be incredibly disappointing, and it'll lead to a fairly hefty inquisition, I would say.
So the big question is, where did it all go wrong?
Look, I think Ireland have a game that can beat the All Blacks. A lot has been made in the aftermath of this defeat. And, you know, when Ireland lose badly, the losses look like this. I'm looking like the game against England in the Six Nations, the game against Wales. You know, there's a bit of a pattern developing here. But when you look at it, Ireland's game is based on not making mistakes, holding on to possession, carrying the ball, you know, with a lot of kind of accuracy and I suppose physicality is the word you hear a lot. But it basically, it's very, very hard to defend when it's done well. But what you can't do is throw in a bunch of mistakes into that system, because it just does not work. When Ireland beat the All Blacks in 2018, they played quite a solid system in that game, but the biggest feature was they didn't make any mistakes. They had 11 mistakes total in that game. The All Blacks had 17 in 2018. In this game, Ireland had 17 turnovers, errors, whatever you want to call them. The All Blacks only had 9. And when you look at the mistakes that Ireland made in that first half, almost every single one of them led to either a massive territory gain for the All Blacks or led directly to a try. You know, and plus as well, when you've got our halfbacks, Johnny Sexton in particular, so much goes through Johnny Sexton and with this Irish squad when Ireland are playing well. But when he's not playing well, and he didn't play well here, missed some kicks, penalty kicks that he looked to drive down the line normally, some poor, you know, tactical kicking. Some of the lines that he was running weren't great. When that happens, it's almost like a perfect storm. But, you know, whatever it adds up to, Ireland are out of a quarter final again. And it's just incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Ireland made a mistake, but New Zealand capitalised on every one of them. They were clinical. Just how good were they today? And are we kind of underestimating their role in today's action? I know we're focusing on Ireland's negatives, but New Zealand were phenomenal today.
Oh, they were. Look, when New Zealand are playing like this with such accuracy, they really are very, very difficult to stop. You just look at the accuracy they're handling. Their breakdown work today was just it was ruthless. It was hard. They played incredibly well. And, you know, you look at, did they learn from some of the mistakes of 2018? I think they did. Now, I think they were wedded to playing with two playmakers for, I'd say, since 2017 in the aftermath of the Lions Tour. I think they were kind of making that change towards the system that we saw today. But when you look at how many times they managed to get Beauden Barrett into the game, how many times they managed to get Richie Moonga into the game, they had so many more possessions than we did, you know. And when you look at the way that Ireland, you know, we had 50% possession. Yet we weren't able to get the same amount of ball to the outside backs the way that the All Blacks were doing. And when you looked at how often they stretched Ireland's defence, it started looking ugly very early. And there was a real chance in that second half that Ireland could have got nilled and could have had 50 plus points put on them. It was very, very disappointing. And from an Irish perspective, they'll be sickened because they do have a game that can beat the All Blacks. But the All Blacks in this game were just so good, so ruthless, so clinical. They punished every mistake that Ireland made just beyond ruthlessly. And, you know, to be, I think it was, 21 points down and going in at halftime, that's a very hard lead to take, to take back. And Ireland needed to be perfect from then. But again, the errors just started and compounded again in the second half. And a lot of it will have to be looked at now as to, you know, how Ireland move forward from here, because ultimately, you know, Joe Schmidt has been a great coach for Ireland, fantastic memories. He's won a lot of trophies as well. But this ultimately was a failure of his system and a failure of what Ireland had looked to build over the course of the last 4 years. You know, they came in flat. They came in looking heavy-legged. And when Ireland looked bad, they looked very bad. And that was certainly the case here.
It's Smith's last game, of course. What's his legacy? I mean, like, you can talk about your Grand Slam successes all you want, but I mean, like, ultimately it's on the world stage that you're ultimately judged, I suppose.
It is. And look, when you look at Ireland, you know, and Joe Schmidt said this himself after the game, you carry your scars way more than your successes in this game. And I think from Joe Schmidt's legacy in Ireland, ultimately, when we look back on this in 5 years, 6 years, longer even, he'll be a guy who will have been seen to have raised standards in this country for, you know, what is expected from coaches and what is expected from players. He's been incredibly successful. You know, he's taken Ireland to, you know, beating the All Blacks. You know, we certainly lost this game for sure, but before this, we'd never even come close to, well, to getting two victories over the All Blacks would have been unheard of, you know, even 10 years ago. So in one way, he's, you know, raised Ireland to, you know, fantastic levels, and I think that can't be forgotten. But ultimately, the style of play that Ireland looked to go for is quite mentally taxing on the players. The detail required is huge. And when it doesn't work, and coaches live and die by this all the time, when it doesn't work, you get questioned. And the questions start to rise over, you know, Ireland's performance in World Cups has been pretty poor over Schmidt's tenure. Overall, I'd say the balance is more bad than good, yeah. Or more good than bad, rather. But I think that, you know, in the aftermath, I think we'll be seeing quite a departure from how Ireland will look to play going forward.
Yeah, and is Andy Farrell the right man to do that? I mean, like, Ireland well beaten today. I mean, like, is it look like a premature decision to appoint Andy Farrell so early?
Well, I think you have to look at who's available, and I think you have to look at trying to build as much continuity on success as you can. I think when this decision was made, Ireland had just won a Grand Slam, and I think from that perspective, I know some people have said, look, did Schmidt maybe have too much of a long goodbye? I'm not sure I'd buy into that personally, because Warren Gatland has had the same, Steve Hansen has had the same at the All Blacks. I don't think that's the case. But I think that Andy Farrell now will certainly have a remit, and he'll certainly have a mandate to, you know, make some radical changes around selection. You know, have a look at some of the guys who would have been stalwarts under Schmidt may now find themselves under threat. And I suppose this is the kind of the situation now. This is the start again of another World Cup cycle, I suppose. From Andy Farrell's perspective, I think he has to look at this and go, who are going to be my main men a year out from the World Cup next time? I suppose you could make an argument that Ireland did maybe peak a year too early. And I suppose that's something that Farrell now will have, you know, a fairly long winter coming up to the Six Nations again, looking at guys who are, you know, I think it's a clean slate for a lot of players, for fellas who may have found themselves on the outs with Schmidt for whatever reason, or some fellas who might not even be in the Ireland frame right now. The opportunity is there for them to make a case that, you know, look, well, we had ultimately the last cycle ended in failure at the World Cup. Yes, there was a Grand Slam. Yes, he beat the All Blacks. But now we're looking to try and build going forward, and, you know, it's a huge opportunity for young lads to come in, and for even guys who might not be not so young to come and make a case why they should be the men that Andy Farrell needs to rely on going forward.
I suppose the question on every Ireland fan's lips today is, would Ireland have performed better against South Africa, or were they to meet in a quarterfinal?
I think the mistakes wouldn't have been as ruthlessly punished if we're to say that Ireland will go out and, you know, play as nervously as we did, I think, in that opening 5-10 minutes. I think you could say, yeah, look, they wouldn't have been punished as ruthlessly, perhaps. But, you know, and I suppose you could look at it that it would be a simpler proposition. South Africa presents a more, I suppose, physical challenge than, I suppose, with the All Blacks. But when you look at, you know, Ireland, when they make this amount of mistakes, turnovers, you know, handling errors, you know, some elements of indiscipline as well, it's very hard to perform to the level that Ireland do when they're at their best. And, you know, Schmidt made reference to it afterwards that some guys were ready very late in the week. You know, some guys were coming in not fully fit. Again, I think we looked very leaden-legged, yeah, for sure. But again, that's on Ireland to make sure that you're ready for knockout rugby. And I think that again, would be all part of the Inquisition. Would we have beaten South Africa? I think it'd be easier to beat them.
Yeah.
But if Ireland played like this, all bets are off, you know. But they could easily have lost to South Africa playing like this too.
Yes, certainly could. Can England stop New Zealand next week?
They absolutely can. I think England are a very dangerous side. You look at how they dispatched Australia today, and, you know, they've got all the sort of ingredients that you look at for World Cup winners. Guys playing incredibly well. Their pack is looking outstanding. They have depth in a lot of positions. There's only a few guys who I would say are, you know, set, nailed on. Everybody else could make a discussion one way or the other at 10, 12, 13. You look at their back row, Curry, Underhill, Vunipola are all playing incredibly well. I think that the All Blacks will have a much tougher time against England, and England will be backing themselves to beat the All Blacks, especially when they're playing as good as they are at the moment.
All right, very finally, Tom, tell us a little bit about our Three Red Kings and tell us a little bit about your Patreon.
Yeah, my Patreon is at patreon.com/Three Red Kings. What I do on there is I'm going to have a look at, in detail, how Ireland lost this game, how Ireland can look to build going forward, and, you know, with plenty of GIFs, video, and other kind of technical analysis on there as well. So that's on patreon.com/Three Red Kings, and it's just €2 a month.
Excellent, Tom. It's been a pleasure talking to you, sir, and I know that we'll talk to you again in the future.
No bother, man. Thanks very much.
Yeah, great to talk to Tom Savager from Three Red Kings about today's defeat to the All Blacks. 46-14 was how it finished. We'll have more on that on tomorrow evening's show, but we are running out of time rather rapidly. So we are going to plough on and hear from Cork legend Mark Landers, of course, tomorrow. Massive, massive day as Imokilly and Glen Rovers go head-to-head in the Senior Hurling Championship final in Porcupine. Imokilly going for 3 in a row. They're looking to become the first side since St. Finbar's in the early 80s to do that. The Glen haven't contested the final in that time, but did win the previous 2 finals before that. Ahead of the game, Kieran's been speaking with Cork legend Mark Landers.
It is a massive final, Kieran, and I suppose the big thing is, I know that the Imokilly are going for 3 counties in a row, but the big thing is that the Glen had won the two previous counties in advance of Imokilly winning the last 2, so you have the champions for the last 4 years vying for who's going to get 3 county championships, I suppose, in 5 years. So I suppose in the current form in Cork and in the club championship, these are the 2 farm teams, Glen Rovers and Imokilly. But as you say, there's an added bit of spice and stuff out that Imokilly are trying to join, I suppose, the Glendabows and the Rockies as the only 3 teams that have won 3 in a row, counties, and Imokilly, I'm sure, will have that in the back of their mind, and the biggest question, I suppose, Kieran, is whether it will weigh in their mind or whether they can deal with that pressure of 3 in a row.
Yeah, a lot of people over the last few years saying, or, well, maybe over the last 2 years, certainly this year, that Imokilly were always going to get to the final, and that they'd probably more than likely win it because they were a much stronger outfit than other teams, but there seems to be a consensus around that Glen Rovers are the team that could pip them in this final.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, there can be nobody argue if Imokilly win the county for the 3rd time in a row. They've beaten Middleton in the 4th round, Sars in the quarter final, the Bears in the semi final, and the Glen Rovers in the final, if they win it. And I suppose that is a massive testament to the team and the panel and the management, and I suppose the strength of hurling, and I suppose junior and intermediate hurling in East Cork at this moment in time. But I think in Glen Rovers, the fact that I've already mentioned it, the fact that they have 2 counties, one in 2015 and 16. You know, and the emergence of Imokilly came along then, and the Glen didn't get back to finals. But I think, you know, I suppose in the fact that Patrick Horgan is the one man, and I suppose if you go back through history, there has been county finals won with one individual having particularly strong performance. And as of 2001 is one that sticks out in my mind, where Blackrock beat Imokilly, and Alan Browns, I think, went on rampage that day. He got 3-7. And then a number of years ago, you had Conall Lehane, who had did a one-man show again when they won the county. So I think from, you know, can anybody stop Imokilly? Absolutely. On any given day, in any given final, no matter how hot favourites any team are, they can be beaten if their focus isn't correct and if their determination isn't right on the day. But I suppose the big thing for me is, like, if Patrick Horgan turns up tomorrow with the Glen and he has one of these mercurial performances, which he's quite capable of having, you know, you could see the Sean O'Muffy going back to Blackpool tomorrow evening.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Patrick Horgan there. Obviously, he's lethal. He's the main man for Glen Rovers, and surely Fergie Condon will have a plan for him. But one thing I suppose you can plan for it in certain respects, but it's the freeze. You can't allow Patrick Horgan get on freeze.
Yeah, and it was, but you know what? The funny thing is that applies for both teams at this moment in time, because I think one of the things, if I was trying to stop Imokilly tomorrow evening in winning the championship, I'd be curbing the likes of Seamus Hannity, Bill Cooper and Brian Lawton from scoring from play, and I certainly wouldn't be conceding any freeze from 100 yards in, because Dickie Dalton is lethal from freeze and penalties. But equally, the same thing applies to Patrick Horgan. I mean, he's a fantastic free taker, both at club level and inter-county level. So I suppose the game in particular, I think the same thing will apply for both. But the big thing for me is, you know, can Patrick Horgan produce one of these performances where he could latch on and maybe score 2-5 or 2-6?
and add 7 or 8 frees on top of that score then as well. And like, just looking at the scores from a Nimi Killie point of view, you know, their average score this year in the knockout championship, the knockout part of the series, is 27 points. And like, if Imi Killie are going to be beaten tomorrow, you know, the Glen are going to have to put the shackles on that scoreline. You know, the defenders would have to, you know, I suppose the likes of Stephen McDonald and Brian Moylan, David Doolan, you know, and young Downey, they'll have to really play to the maximum tomorrow to try and keep that scoreline down, because Imi Killie will play an offensive game. They scored 313 2 years ago. They scored 418 last year in the county final. So I suppose from that perspective, I don't think there's any fear that Imi Killie will score and they will go for goals. But for the Glen to win, you know, their defence will have to get a latch onto the big guys for Imi Killie.
I don't know whether you saw the two semi-finals, Mark, but maybe they weren't maybe the standard people would have hoped for, with Glen Rovers comprehensively defeating Carrick Tool and Imi Killie overcoming the Bears. But the Bears were missing 6, I think, or in around 6 of their starting team. Mm-hmm. And they did put it up to Imi Killie, to be fair.
Did it. And like, you know, yes, you're right. One of the semi-finals was one-sided in one respect. And I think you're quite right in saying that the Bears were missing a number of players, and particularly Owen Finn, I think, you know, who, you know, would be one of the top scorers as well. And when you're without a player like that, it does have an effect on a team. But like, the Bears are a team that have been coming for the last number of years now, and on the run and corner, they have improved dramatically. And, you know, in the next couple of years, I think you will probably see the Bears getting to the final. But, you know, to like everything, you need to have your top players all the time, and you need to have a full panel of players. And I suppose when you look at Imi Killie, the fact that they've been able to lose the likes of Niall O'Leary and Colm Spillane and Kieran O'Brien out of the defence from last year, and they're starting with, you know, 6 new defenders from, you know, 7, 8, 9 from their defence last year, it's a great testament to the panel of players they had. And I suppose going forward for next year, we already know that Klein and Father O'Neill won't be part of the panel next year with Imi Killie, but then, you know, you can replace him with the likes of Shane O'Regan, who, you know, is a Cork under 21 and had an outstanding season this year. He's not even making the starting 15. So, like, you know, I suppose the one worry I'd have for the Glen is that maybe they're going into the final maybe not battle hardened, you know, from a semi-final game. Yeah. But like, previously to that, they had a cracking game against Charleville above Mallow. That game could have went either way. And they also had a cracking game against Newtown Shandrum. Yeah. That game could have went either way. So, like, if the game does tighten up tomorrow night, you've seen the Glen, to be fair, have come through in 2 tight games there. And, you know, the weight of 3 in a row just may affect Imi Killie, but you just have to wait and see how that'll pan out.
Do you think there could be any, for lack of a better term, and no pun intended, but hangover from the Father O'Neill side of things, considering they won a huge title the other day?
Yeah, like, it is certainly something that will probably concern the Imi Killie management. I suppose I can only just remember from my own experience when Killa were playing in the county final in 98 and in 2001, those intermediate county finals were played the week after the senior county final was played. Mm. So this is actually the first time that the intermediate final was brought forward to be played before the senior. Knowing the players involved, the likes of John Melrick and Decky Dalton and Mark O'Keefe, they're very focused, very driven players. And like, you know, Bud Jor and Decky didn't start in last year's win for Imi Killie, and I think they will be trying their damnedest to, you know, have an intermediate and a senior medal in the 1 year, and probably cement their future from a Cork point of view as well, because I think both of them will possibly step up into the Kieran Kingston's panel for the 2020 season, and will be trying to, I'd say, stake a claim in the team.
Another driving force possibly for some of those Imi Killie players, Mark, is the change in the championship structure next year means that all the Cloyne and Father O'Neill's players on the team won't be involved with Imi Killie next year, because they'll be Senior B, and that excludes them from playing with their division at Senior Championship. I think Paddy O'Sullivan was quoted as mentioning, you know, it's great to be playing senior with the club, but you want to win the senior with the division that you're playing with, whatever. But could that be a driving force for some of them?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, there's no question that I suppose for the Father Neil Sullivan and for Paddy Sullivan and anybody involved from Clyne, you know, it will be their last year probably playing with Imi Killie on the senior side of things, because they'll be, now look, you have relegation and stuff like that involved, which is a good thing in all the divisions, whether it's a senior or premier senior, you know. But I think it's more, I think they will be looking for, you know, the three in a row. I think, you know, I suppose the 97-98 team, you know, we didn't achieve the three in a row at the time, even though we played in three finals. We played in 96, we were beaten by Avondhu narrowly after a replay. So I think, you know, the three in a row is a big thing for Imi Killie. And I know the management and the players will say that they won't be thinking about, but I suppose down in East Cork, you know, everybody does look like when you win your first one, you want to go back to back. And then when you have your back to back, you're looking for three in a row if you can achieve it. But I would think, you know, that Imi Killie's strength and depth at the moment, Kieran, is just, it's amazing. And, you know, that's down to Fergal Condon and the likes of Derek Ballard and Jimmy Smitty. And Kieran Cronin and Seamus and Sean Hannity, that they have drilled the spirit. Like you have to go back to 2014 when nobody really wanted to be involved with the Imi Killie panel. They were struggling to get players, they were struggling to get management. Fergal Condon took it on in 2015. Was a slightly unlucky against Erin's own in 2016 when they got a late goal to beat them, but they stuck together and they've rejuvenated it. The panel, you know, rekindled what Imi Killie was all about back, you know, 15 years ago. Like everybody wanted a player for Imi Killie. And that is what Fergal Condon and his management have done. Everybody wants to be involved with Imi Killie now, and he's given him the opportunity. And, you know, the big thing is well, like, it's a launching pad for Fella's career. So you look at Niall O'Leary from Castlelines. You know, yeah, he played minor under 21 for Cork, but he wasn't really involved in the senior panel. And next of all, he's won two county medals, you know, at 19 and 20 years of age as centre back. And it was a great launching pad for him. Then he went on to win a Fitzgibbon with UCC and came into the Cork panel last year. But, you know, it is a launching pad for fellas' careers to give them an opportunity and put him in the shop window for the Cork team.
And finally, Mark, Tipping and Imi Killie, do you think? Or which way?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I suppose for me, you know, for the Glen to win tomorrow, you know, as I've already mentioned, Patrick Horgan is key, obviously. You know, must get a massive performance out of him. You know, they must curb the likes of Seamus Hannity and Lawton and Bill Cooper. And I suppose, you know, no freeze for Dalton, like, you know, and like, you know, on Imi Killie's side, then you're hoping that Imi Killie won't be fired up and they won't be driven, which I can't see happening, to be honest with you. But it does, there are some teams when you're on the road a long time, fatigue does set in and ambition, you know, once you secure those county medals, maybe sometimes fellas are happy enough for that. But you really won't know until you actually go out in the field tomorrow. And you'll know after 10 or 15 minutes the way the bounce of the ball is going. But I suppose what everybody is looking forward to tomorrow is that we have a fast and, I suppose, a free-flowing game, and it doesn't come down to a Patrick Horgan and a Dickie Dawson shootout. That's really, I suppose, if I'm a neutral going into the game tomorrow, I want to see a good, hard, clean, tough game of hurling. I want the likes of, you know, the referee net and what to leave the game flow, leave it develop. And, you know, we'd love to see goals tomorrow, because I think anybody going to the match tomorrow wants to see goals as well. So no freeze and plenty of goals and a very close game.
Spoken like old school hurling. Mark, thanks very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench.
No, well, thanks, Ryan.
The legend that is Mark Landers. Not asking for much tomorrow. No freeze, close game, plenty of goals. Very quickly, Kieran, we're running out of time. How do you think it's going to go?
I can't give a straight answer, but thanks. The Glen are probably the one to can
fence.
Put it up to Imi Killie. It'd be a real good battle.
And we have a big preview podcast coming online shortly.
Yeah, that's going to be up in the next hour, previewing the County Hurling Final. We'll have interviews with both camps as well. Very interesting to listen to.
So if you want to preview the game, we'll have that online, redfm.ie, or wherever you get your podcast from, very, very shortly. We're out of time. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way. We're back tomorrow from 6. All the reaction from the Senior Hurling Championship Final on tomorrow evening's show. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.